verses 24 through 31.
Genesis. Let me just read the
Jacob was left alone, and the man wrestled with him till daybreak.
Interesting section of scripture here. A lot of people don't teach on this, and it's kind of confusing, to tell you the truth. But it really is powerful, and so I'm going to try to spend some time here. We've been going through the book of Genesis, and I mean, it's just a powerful book. We've been, you know, they talk a difference in the Bible. It talks about serving up milk because you can't have solid food. Well, I tell you what, since we've been in Genesis, we've been on solid food, all right? Anybody that's just on milk has just gagged and gone home, all right?
That has been solid food, and this is going to be solid food again this morning. It's just, Genesis, just so much in there. And you should say, too, what an absolute demonic evil it is that in the world view where they have discounted the book of Genesis. It's just demonic. Because when you see the power that's within Genesis, you discount Genesis and you discount that power, you discount those truths, and we've seen that already. So this is an interesting section. Genesis is a fascinating book, and we're just hitting the high spots. Now, here we're going to talk about Jacob, so kind of bring us up to speed. We spent a lot of time with Abraham, all right? We spent some time with Abraham. We saw just the basically how the teachings the promises to Abraham were the foundation for the church, and so we spent a little time with Abraham a few weeks. Well, now Abraham had a son, Isaac, and Abraham's old age, 100 years old, he finally got a son. God says, here's your, you have these promises, these multitude of descendants. He had no kids. So at the age of 100, he gives him one boy, and they die without one boy. That's all he has, but the promises for multitude of descendants. And then Jacob, what Jacob does, what Isaac does, Abraham's son is Isaac. So what Isaac does, he gets a wife. Man, you appreciate this. He got married at 40. Okay, so then he slow started. But he got married at 40, and so his wife gives birth to twins. Okay, so you got Abraham, you got Isaac, and then Isaac's wife gives birth to twins. And the twins are named Esau and Jacob. And that's all they have. God's promise, multitudes, one child. So, you know, Isaac has two children, twins. That's it. But God's promise is true. God's promise is true. Now, not only did he just give Isaac two children, twins, Esau and Jacob. Esau, in the Bible, they use Esau biblically, is typology, is a type of the flesh. Okay? That's who Esau was, the type of the flesh. So he's the type of what we would consider the sinner. Okay, that's one of the twins. All right? The other twin, Jacob, his name means deceiver because he was just a little weasel. All right? He was just a little weasel. So you got a sinner and a weasel. And it says, and but we do find out a little information in Malachi chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. It says, Esau God hated, but Jacob he loved. People said, that's why he hated Esau. What I wonder is, why is Jacob? You know, why would he love Jacob? And then that same verse is quoted in Romans chapter 9, verse 13. Same thing. And it's talking in that case. the deceivers, you ultimately get deceived. And so he went to his father-in-law. He says, this is the lady I want to marry. He says, great. So, you know, kind of gets him a little tipsy. He gives him the wrong girl, the wrong daughter. And so that would upset him. And so anyway, so he deceived him. He said, but if you work for me 7 years, I'll give you the other one. He said, okay. So I'll take the other one. Now, you see problems developing already. You see, now you've got two wives. And one of them didn't have children. So she gives him her servant wife. And so he has children by her. And then the other one stopped having children. She won't catch up to those. So she gives her, his, her servant. So now he's got four wives, 12 kids, one daughter. We see a dysfunctional family developing. But it's God's the God of Jacob. God's the God of Jacob.
So here we have this mess. And so Jacob is leaving. Now he ran away from his brother. When he deceived his brother, his brother said, I'm going to kill him. And so his mother said, you know, you better leave the country. So he left the country and got all these wives and kids and stuff. So he finally had to come back. So he's coming back, and he's been gone for 20-some-odd years. So he's coming back. He's at this point in his life, he's actually coming back to Israel. He's coming into Israel. So Jacob is coming in with his crew. And he has got this whole crew of people, wives, kids, servants, cattle, everything. And he had a whole bunch of sheep and a whole bunch of cattle. I mean, he had massive amount of cattle and sheep. You know how he got them? He deceived his in-laws. God, if you're going to deceive, you might as well make it pay, right? This guy's a piece of work. I'm telling you, he's a piece of work. But God's referred to as the God of Jacob more than anything else. And so what you have here, at this point, you have a point where there's a meeting, Jacob and God. Now, right here, here's a turning point. This is a turning point in Jacob's life. Now, his life's a mess, and it's going to carry on like that. But it's a turning point for Jacob at this point in time. And there's some lessons we can learn about it. Because what we have here in Genesis chapter 32, verse 24. So Jacob was left alone. Circle alone. Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. And we'll see other references. That man is an angel. And it referred to that man as God himself. It was a manifestation of God. So Jacob is alone wrestling with God. And it's at this point a change takes place. Something at this point changes as Jacob is struggling with God. Now what's important here, it's an example to all of us. It's an example to all of us because we're going to come to these points where we're alone and we're struggling with God. We're wrestling with God. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. And it was going to be things because maybe we're pressing deeper. Maybe we're pressing deeper into something. And that's the wrestling, trying to figure it out. Maybe we're trying to move forward in something. We're trying to move forward with God, and we're wrestling with that. Maybe it's a trust issue, just trusting God and what he's told us. You know, maybe it's a trusting situation. Maybe it's just being able to stand alone. Maybe that's it, just being able to stand alone. And we're wrestling with God. Or maybe it's just survival. Like, God, if you don't have me, I'm going to die. I can't. Maybe it's just survival. But it's wrestling with God. Now, I like this. I like reading it. It brings things to mind. Because in my personal life, you know, it's happened a multitude of times. I mean, I can read it. I can just tick them off. You know, a multitude of times when you're alone and wrestling with God and trying to discern. And then even when the Lord tells you something, it's crazy you're trying to discern. So it's real to me. It's very, very real to me. In these times, if it is a reality, a wrestling with God, they'll be transformational. Like some people say, oh, I've wrestled with God, and they come out, and they ain't no different than they were before they went in. They ain't wrestled nobody. You know, they just had heartburn or something, got a little upset. Or they didn't wrestle with it. You wrestle with God. You come out, and you're different. You come out, and you're transformational. You come out, world is different. We wrestled with God in almost like a life and something a little different this morning. I'm going to have a testimony by Michael, because, and I want to tie it in because I want to make it real. I want to make it real. This wasn't necessarily life and death, but it was a wrestling, because I gave a whole series of messages, you know, and I shared with you about the little red wagon and how God gave me that vision. I shared with you about, you know, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 11, the spiritual gifts. I shared with you about the gift of tongues being neglected. You hear me? The gift of tongues being neglected. God spoke that to me. He said, listen, it's neglected and you're missing something, and therefore it's coming over the whole church. So you have to step down so I can do what I want to do. So you went, okay. So you're wrestling with what's that mean? And the Lord gave me another word. Now, just I want you to listen and put yourself in my position. This is real. I'm not just blowing smoke here. All right? It's like, the Lord tells me, he says, all right, you need, on a specific thing like the gift of tongues, says you need to not neglect that, but don't teach on it anymore. Well, what, you know, cut my leg off. I mean, that's what I do, is teach. But he says, don't teach on it. And so it's like, what do you mean? And so, if y'all remember the skit, you remember the things that came back. So you're trying to discern what God wants. Now, so I felt like, as much as I was able to discern, I was obedient to that. I was obedient to that as much as I was able to discern, is I was really in all reality alone with God, and that's what he showed me. Now, if you're obedient, then God moves, and God moves through the obedience and touches others. If you're obedient, he'll touch others. If you're disobedient, holds in and God will not move in that area. And he clearly told me, I want to do something with the church. If you don't do this, it can't move. So, okay. All right. So I want Michael to come up, because Michael remembered those messages. In fact, I'm going to pray for Michael as he comes up. Michael always prays for me before the service. So I want to pray for him before this. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Michael. I thank you for what a good brother he is. I thank you for what encouragement. Thank you for the support. And just, Lord, I pray a blessing on him and his family. Give him words, Lord, to share, just to share what you showed him in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Is that okay? Well, so I'll stop preaching, because I sat through his teaching on tongues. I've been going to church here for about 14 years. And so he spoke on tongues. I was raised a Baptist. Any of you who were raised Baptist, you know how we feel about this whole tongues thing. And as he had gone through the teaching, and I had read through the Bible, I believe that tongues were good for other people. So what else is said?
was sitting over there, and I was crying as he was speaking, because I just haven't. Schofield Bible. You know, that's one where the notes are more important than the text, and we all know about sitting there, this is like the Tuesday after I received this gift. I was in a church, and my brain just began to say these words. I still don't say it loud, but it sounds too weird. But my spirit was communicating with God, and it was real and undeniable. I mean, it stopped.
Share was not to give a testimony on tongues. That wasn't the reason. He used that was his testimony. How God spoke to him.
Okay.
And that was important. The point is, when you struggle with God and God shows you something, and you're struggling, and if you're meeting with God and you really meet with God, you are changed, you're transformed, then you have to step out. Now, I want to take it back where I was. I've shared, I've tried to be transparent with everyone. The struggles I go through, the struggles in wrestling with God almost every Sunday. But here's the word, because I'm looking for the words of God. How could you just not handle the word of God and give it? Just all that is the word. You struggle. What is it? What is it? And so you struggle. I don't just teach outlines, teach principles. I don't think anybody here can say that. It's struggle for God's word to hear him say something, and then I can say it. Say it. That's what it is. Now, with this, were those, I was struggling with this, and the Lord told me. And then, I mean, this is clear. This is like God descending and having a conversation. He told me, as clear as in it, he says, you're neglecting the gift of tongues. And because you're neglecting it, there's a ceiling. You can't move. He says, you have a vision. You're going to see farther than other people. And the people you see farther than are going to disagree with you. But they're going to disagree with you because they can't see. And so, thanks. Love that. You know. And so, he says, this is what you do. So, you have to. And once you do this, and then I'm going to move. I'm going to move my body. So, and God can do anything any way he wants to. But I do want to make a point. Then, I said, all right, God, I'll do it. You said it. I believe it. I'll do it. So, I did it. And then you see a fruit. There's been more fruit from Michael. I just want to say, because I was obedient. You see what I'm saying? Now, that goes, I'm applying this to you. See, so me not being obedient, as I can't share that, would have robbed Michael. Y'all with me? And so what we're looking at here, when you stray, it's not just you. It's the world around you. God has chosen to use diverse. Well, if you don't do it, somebody else will do it. How do you know? How do you know if you don't do it, somebody else will do it? Do you find that verse in the Bible? Find that verse in the Bible. You don't do it, somebody else will do it. We just think, well, God can do anything, so we don't care. It's not in the scriptures. There is, God has chosen to work through people. See, so when he tells them, you better do it. And this was so, I mean, this was such a struggle for me. And so I go through, and it's like, all right, I see. And then you go, all right. Because when I teach through the scriptures, and when I see it, I see the meat of everything, and the meat of what the scripture has said, and the meat of the teaching, tongues is not on the front burner. It's not. All right? Because, but when God tells you, you've neglected it, okay, just pop it up there. All right? And it was, and so, and make the paper. And so what's happened since then, Michael, but others, Sidney Packer, other people getting words, other people getting prophetic words, other people come and say, we have the gift of healing. I want to start praying for you. I said, wow. So it broke through. And now I'm scared to death. You know, you're scared before. Now I'm scared that, what if I had succumbed to my fear and didn't say anything? All those people have been robbed. Amen? Hallelujah. So, y'all with me? Now, so let's look at this. We're going to get into the scriptures now. All right? Buckle down. Here you have in this section, and we're going to have an understanding here of what happens. What happens? You have, and I've seen a lot of, I've got a book right there. It says, Leading with a Limp. There's a lot of pastoral books. It's funny, pastors write about, they talk about walking with a limp. Because if you're a pastor long enough and survive, you'll walk with a limp. You know, because enough people will kick you, all right? And so it's a definitely a pastoral thing, but it really is a Christian thing. It's walking with a limp, and that's the title of the message, walking with a limp. And what it means, walking with a limp, it means you have met with God, and there has been a physical toll taken on your life, and you'll walk with a limp the rest of your life. This has been that intense, all right? So we're going to look at this, and we want to think about walking with a limp. Like I said, I like the book right there, Leading with a Limp by Dan Allender. All right? There's other people I talk to where they'll say, Larry Kreider, I just got an email from him, a blog. He says, I never trust anybody that doesn't walk with a limp. Now listen, I never trust anybody who doesn't walk with a limp because they've been through it. They've been physically through it. They've suffered it. They just don't have a good idea. They're flipping hair. This thing's trying. No, they had been through it, and they walked with a limp. And he says, those are the people I trust, and I've talked to him about that before. So this is, so it's got this whole connotation of this. And so we want to look at that. I meet with people that I know that walk with a limp. I've got five men that I meet with that walk with a limp. All right? There, two of them are apostolic leaders. One of them is a tremendous businessman that's been over to executive officer of a huge corporation. Are you kidding me? You know him? I could get out there. And we really enjoy each other. We have a lot of it. But I meet with him, and then pastors I meet with. And what I do, I present stuff to them, and then we can hear, and they walk with a limp, and I just present stuff to them, like, oh, yeah, I know what you mean. Oh, yeah, and we have it. Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. You know?
it's like I listen to them and I try to adjust to them, adjust to what they're saying because I have a great respect for them. And so I look at them and I'll present things to them. And it's amazing how they can share because they've walked with the limp. I trust them. You see what I'm saying? Now, so here, now that's good, but the question comes, what about us? What about us? Okay, how does God work us into us and make us into that person who walks with a limp? Now see, Michael's kind of, he's going to walk with a limp, right? Because he'll always be changed by what happened to him. Nobody can talk him out of it. Nobody can ever convince him otherwise. Because he met with God. He's changed. See? And that's what God wants with all of us now. So let's look at this. Let's walk through. Let's learn. See what God can teach us about how it is. And there's huge lessons here. And I'll repeat the first one, verse 24. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. Alone with God. All for the group hugs, all for the group meetings, all for the group Bible studies. But in this case, you will be alone. You'll be alone with God, and you're going to wrestle with him because there's going to be something that you are dealing with. Now, anybody here dealing with something? So you're dealing with stuff. So what do you do? You meet with God alone. Now, I'm all for you. I just told you, like I meet with these people that walk with the lamps because I want to hear from them. But they're not transformational. They're helpful. When you meet with God, it's transformational. Transformational. So you meet with God. You're going through something. You meet with God alone. It's just you and God. It's just you and God. Now, here we're looking at Genesis chapter 32, verses 24 through 31. Now, there's some parallel verses. It's on the bulletin. Jot this down. It's Hosea. Hosea, chapter 12, 3 through 6. And what Hosea does, it takes these verses and it interprets them. Okay? That's what's great about the Bible. So, Hosea, chapter 12, 3 through 6, helps interpret these scriptures. So, it gives you insight. That's the reason you ought to read the whole Bible. All right? Because it'll give you insight. But man, this is a tough scripture. I don't know how to interpret it. Read Hosea. Read the whole thing. All right? God will show you. God will give you insight. So what it says in Hosea having to do with Jacob was alone and wrestled with God. In Hosea chapter 12, 3, it says this. Now remember, Jacob and Esau were twins. Okay? Hosea 12, 3. In the womb, Jacob grasped his brother's heel, and as a man, he struggled with God. What it means is that when Esau was born, he's first. The point is that Jacob as a baby grabbed his brother's heel. You're not supposed to be first. I'm first. You're not supposed to have the birthright. Birthright's mine. And he deceived and cheated and did everything he could to get that birthright. But this was almost an election predestination. Is an infant coming out of the womb, he grabbed his brother's heel because his brother was not the firstborn. His brother was not to receive the blessings. And in fact, that comes to be true. So the point it's making here, so he grasped his brother's heel, and as a man, he struggled with God. He struggled with God how? He struggled with God for the blessing. He struggled with God for the birthright. And he struggled with God for favor. Now, he is a deceiver. We've already said he's a bad character. But something in him says, I want what God has. I'm doing it wrong. I'm doing it wrong, but I want what God has. Very interesting. God doesn't condemn him for it. Now, so what's the application? What's the application? Do you want the birthright? Do you want the favor? Do you want the blessing of God? Are you, I don't care, whatever, let it come. You don't get excited about nothing. You don't care about nothing. You don't care about God. You have no passion. Then that's what you get, nothing. God says you have a passion. You want the favor. Struggle with God. See? Amen?
again, we're applying this to ourselves. To ourselves. Verse 25. When the man, now this is the angel, the representation of God, when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Now, here's one of these difficult verses, all right? But however, I'm going to show you what I believe this says. And it shows you here that as he wrestled with God, God, the manifestation of God, could not overpower him. How could that be? How could that be? And here's how it is. Because God will not overpower our flesh. How about our flesh? It's stuff we just do, right? That kind of down deep stuff that's us, right? God will not overpower it. We are not robots. We have to make a decision. He won't overpower it. We have to make a decision. And so in this wrestling with God, there's some sort of message coming to Jacob. And Jacob's flesh will not receive what God has given him. He is overpowered. The angel can't overpower him because Jacob's flesh is so strong. And so what the angel, the representation of God, finally does, and this is just, I mean, what the scripture says, okay, buddy, I'm done with you. And it's in the scripture, it shows that God will do that. I'm done with you. Fine. You want your way? You want to do it your way? You have it your way. It's yours. I'm leaving. It's yours just the way you want it. And that's what's happening right here. That's what happens when you do something not God's way. He lets you do it. And then you suffer the consequences. But he lets you do it. Now look at that again. Because it's really important. When the man saw the representation of God, he could not overpower him. His flesh, who he was, his weaknesses, his suspicions. He touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched. I'm disabling you and I'm leaving. I'm disabling you and I am leaving. Fascinating. And here's something now. The spiritual, in these encounters with God, the spiritual is so intense it seems physical. The spiritual struggle is so intense, it seems physical. I'm going to ask for a raise of hands. How many of you had a spiritual struggle so intense it seemed physical? Raise your hands. Look around you. Now see, that's not unusual. It seems physical. The spiritual is so intense, it seems physical. And not only that, it's so intense, it seems physical, that when you, it is so intense, that it leaves a mark on you, physically or emotionally. It'll leave a mark on you. The struggle is so intense, it will ultimately leave a mark on you, emotionally or physically. That's the reason you come out of it changed, because there's a mark on you. There's a mark on you. And so it changes you. And you know it. You know it. Now, and two, I relate to this. I think about this, and it's almost like, it's almost frightening. It's almost frightening because it's so intense. It's so intense. Now, look at and this is really fascinating here, verse 26. Then the man said, let me go, for it's daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Now, if you read this whole thing, it doesn't make any sense. Just flat doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? He's fighting this guy. He goes, all right, heck, I'm leaving. And he goes, you can't go. I mean, what is this? I mean, where is the consistency? What's the problem? The problem is that Jacob thinks just like we do. He's as inconsistent as us. Now, God, I don't want you. Yes, God, I don't want you. Yes, God, do this for me. God, I don't want you here. Yes, God. Have you done that? See, that's what Jacob did. And what happened here, and what's the fascinating thing here, it comes to a point in this struggle where God says, all right,
way I'm leading people. That's what he does. Because that's what you want. It's not because he's being mean. It's because what you want. You can have exactly what you want. He's okay. I'm leaving. Now, what happened here with Jacob is fascinating. Is that he realized it. He realized what the angel said. He realized that the angel said, all right, Jacob, you can have it. It's your way. Jacob is like, God, you're telling me to do this. I don't know how to do this. I can't do this. What are you telling me to do this? Don't do this. There's no way I can do this. What are you saying? This is crazy. God. And he goes, touch his hip. Righteous his hip. He's crippled. He says, fine, do it your way. I'm leaving. That is a biblical principle. Fine, do it your way. I'm leaving. And so Jacob realized it. He goes, no, go. Hold on. Now he's crippled. He can't even win the battle because he's crippled. All he can do now is hang on. How many of you have been there? You can't do nothing but hang on. God didn't do nothing but pray. God had nothing to do. Hang on. Hang on. And that's what Jacob said. Okay, I'm just going to hang on. In one act, in this point, in this deceiver's life, in this little creep, I mean, is this guy's despicable? If anybody in the Bible before this, I just think he's despicable. Okay? A little weasel. At this point, he goes, God, I'm going to hang on. I want you. Bless me, God. Always been the God of Jacob more than anything else in the scripture. The God of Jacob. So he holds on and he will not let go. Now, Hosea 4 gives us some insight. It says this, Jacob struggled with God. He struggled with the angel and overcame him. He wept and he begged for his favor. He just hung on. Seems inconsistent, seems irrational. But I've seen it. I've seen it in other people. I've seen it in me. Fight with God. God, I can't do this. I don't know what I'm doing. This crazy. I don't like this. Nobody's going to like me. Nobody's going to listen. This is nuts. It must be a mistake. This couldn't be from you. Like that. All the reasons. And God said, fine. And then it's like, oh, that scares me to death. No, stay. All right, whatever you say, I'll do it. Because all my options don't look good. So just stay. So you hang on. So you hang on. And you beg and you weep. And then God says, all right. You're crippled again. And he says, all right, I'll stay. Now, and it says, Jacob said, I'm going to repeat this. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go until you bless me. How many of you have been there? How many have been there? No hope. No hope. I'm not going to let you go. I have nothing but you. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Okay. Then the man said, the representation of God said, this is huge. The man asked him, what is your name? What is your name? The man, he thinks. God didn't know what his name was. He just figured, because who is this guy anyway? He's a pistol to fight with. You know, I want to know who it is. But do you think he knew who he was? Do you think God knew who he was? Yeah. But he wanted Jacob to say it. He wanted Jacob. He said, what is your name? Let me tell you what Jacob said. It says Jacob, but let me tell you what he really said. God says, what is your name? He goes, deceiver. God says, identify yourself. Identify yourself before I bless you. He is a deceiver. All right. But you have to identify yourself without God. That's what he did. He identified himself. And that's the reason there's such a transformation. Because we'll have to identify ourselves, who we really are. Who we really are. And he said, I'm a deceiver. Look at 28. The man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. That means he just hung on and God blessed him. That's how he overcome. He hung on and God blessed him. And to look at this, and we have to use this in interpretation of what God means. It says you struggled with God and men and overcome. Your name is Israel, which means struggled with God. It's a positive. This is not a negative. Him struggling with God